It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. It's Labor Day. We are here. We are live. It's 503-733-2970. You look all tan. Are you tan?
No.
You sure?
I haven't been tan. No, it hasn't even been sunny very much. I ride my bike every day.
All right.
That could be it. Maybe it's so
light. You look tan. Are you tan? I'm holding in my hand some hydrogen peroxide topical solution, by the way, which is apparently an oral debriding agent.
What?
I'm just reading it. It says, hi, this is...
That's a bottle that's never changed.
There's certain products you don't really need to market. This is one of them. Aaron, Geek in the City
from
brand.
From a brand new bottle.
Join us later. Brand, sealed for your protection. A bottle of hydrogen peroxide, which Sarah's going to put on her foot because we're going to see if it makes a bubbling, sizzling noise when she holds it up to the microphone. We had that ill-fated thing of trying to mic your stomach last week to see if it would growl. That didn't really work. We'll see if this works. No, Aaron brought in a bottle of hydrogen peroxide, which I thought you used this to color your hair or something. Isn't that what...
You can use it to clean cuts.
You can use it to do anything. It claims to be an oral debriding agent.
What does that mean?
I really don't know. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, a man who will probably have thoughts on that. Clyde Lewis, how are you, sir?
Hydrogen peroxide, you use it when you gargle with it or use it as a mouthwash or a mouth rinse.
Are you making this up?
No, I'm not kidding.
You can't gargle with hydrogen peroxide.
Yes, you can. You can gargle with hydrogen peroxide. And what it does is it foams your mouth, and it basically foams off all the bacteria, and it
foams
and
off.
It does. I mean,
that's why it's all foamy on my foot.
Yeah, but you can't
with all the...
I thought hydrogen peroxide would be one of those not to be used internally.
You're not supposed to swallow it, but you can use it in your mouth. It's like, have you ever tried witch hazel? That's another thing, too.
I don't know what witch hazel is.
I don't either.
Okay, now that's weird.
Witch hazel is strange stuff.
Because I was just thinking about that. As I was looking at this bottle where it said oral debriding agent, I was actually just wondering, because my mom had a little bottle of witch hazel, hazel under the sink.
Right.
And it's like
Witch hazel is an antiseptic you can use on everything. On cuts, bruises, scrapes, you can gargle with it.
But what
mouthwash.
But what is it?
It cures certain types of herpes.
Right, but what is it?
I don't know what it is. It's some sort of a alcohol derivative from some strange bulbous plant. I don't know. I love the word bulbous, don't you? Bulbous
flows
plant.
From a mysterious, stream that comes out of a Virgin Mary statue.
Exactly. It is. That, witch hazel, though. It's an amazing thing. I used to use it a long time
ago. Oh, wait. Here we go. This is hydrogen peroxide. It says, uses. One, first aid to help prevent the risk of infection in minor cuts, scrapes, or burns.
Right.
Two, aids in the removal. This is so gross. See if you can spot the unpleasant word in this. Aids in the removal of phlegm,
yep.
Mucus, or other secretions. Associated with occasional sore mouth.
Yeah.
Who has sore mouth? Anyone? Clyde, I swear to God, I'll give you $1 if you gargle some of this.
I got out of the dentist 2 days ago.
Can you not do it? Do you have a deep puncture wound?
No, I don't have a deep puncture
wound. How about an animal bite?
No, I don't have an animal bite. But I just got from the dentist 2 days ago, and I shouldn't do that.
Hold up. I like how you're claiming that you can put this in your mouth, and yet it says in huge letters, keep away from face when opening. There you go.
Contents under pressure. I'll put an eye out.
Seriously. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll read a couple
emails.
Put it
on my foot?
Yeah. We'll do. Well, we should do it when Aaron's in here because he brought it in.
Okay.
So I will tell you this right now. It is one of our typical holiday.
We have about 12 people here.
We do. We have Clyde. We have Aaron. We have Scott Daly. We have Kristen from accounting. Davey Nipples is going to be here. Storm. We're going to be talking to. Storm. We're going to be talking to even. So I told everybody, because we only have one guest mic at this point at CBS, and so I told everybody that really everybody's going to get like a 10-minute slot. That's about it, Sky. Rotating people in and out. So we'll do these calls, do some email. We'll talk to Clyde, see what's going on in your world. We'll talk to Davey in a while. We'll bring on Storm, etc. Rick, bag balm sounds like something Richard Simmons uses when he's done. All right, thank you.
You're talking about bag balm, too?
Yes.
Bag balm's cool, too.
What is... Okay, this can't be a secret that, like, Sarah and I are the only ones who are not in on.
You don't know what bag balm is?
Of quit trying to be smarter than everybody else. Tell me what bag balm.
Bag balm.
They know what
put it. It was a thing that was created by farmers.
I swear to God, if you say it's something you put on a bag.
No, you put on a cow's. You put on a cow's udder, and it was used to because udders get kind of dry, and you know when you're milking them, they get kind of dry, and so it's a good like salve to put
on an
dry
udders.
Parts of the body.
Udder on udder parts
your
of
own,
the body.
Your own nipples, if you have them. Those
you,
type of things.
If you have them. If you're not like Sarah's friend who doesn't have nipples.
I mean, you know.
All right.
Something
well,
like that.
Didn't Aaron have a friend who...
No, please. Let's not go down.
I knew a guy who had three at once. They said that if you have three...
Like, you have one in a box?
If you have three, you're an angel, and if you're polydactyl, you're a god. So that means if you have six fingers or six toes, you're a god.
So we're talking about nipples.
Oh, well, three nipples means you're an angel.
How would you become the god by nipples?
I don't nipples.
Next to a nuclear plant.
I don't know how you become a god through nipples.
Please stop now. We had noted that Sarah had a female friend of hers who did not have, and we're speaking now medically. We're speaking now medically as part of a... Yes, we're speaking now medically in the public interest, convenience, and necessity that her womanly curves, she did not have nipples. It was just sort of a Barbie. Was it just smooth?
Barbie boobs. Yeah, they're totally smooth.
Wow.
So bizarre.
I know. It's weird.
But
I don't have toenails on one foot.
On all five toes?
Yeah.
Did you get them removed?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, that's... I'm sure she didn't have
removed?
Her...
It was an operation I had to have.
Okay, but the difference between you and Kara is Kara probably did not go, did you take these off? You just leave me totally smooth.
It's kind of cool to have no toenails.
No. Aaron made the observation that he has to wear multiple T-shirts because he does not wish for his nipples to be visible.
I think he was just joking. Now it's been totally blown out of context.
Now it's a thing that you just picture whether you want to or not.
So yeah, bag balm's for dried parts of the body. It's actually you rub it on and it works. Bag balm.
Why is it called bag?
Because you put it on the back of a cow. The cow bag.
What's in the bag, cow?
Nice sack.
I hate to break into the bag balm, dude, says Todd the Corpse, but I believe what he's describing is a lotion-like product.
No.
That they use on cow udders to prevent cracking and dry skin before attaching the milking machine.
It's a butter. It's kind of... It's in a...
The guy, listen to this. Listen to this. This is a product designed for cows. This guy's mother probably just used it as a placebo for this poor, poor man. That's so great. It's made for... Todd the Corpse claims that it is designed solely for cows.
Made for cows.
And
like
anyone having...
They sell it in supermarkets.
Yeah, they do. You can get it...
You can get it anywhere. You always see the little green tin of bag balm.
You can get the bag aisle.
All right.
You can go get the bag meal.
Rick, mercurochrome did not sting and burn. That was mertholate. Iodine also burned. If I stepped on a nail, my father would scrub it out with iodine and a toothbrush.
Ooh.
There you go.
Mercurochrome.
Fantastic.
That stuff was red.
Did you pronounce iodine lodine?
It looked like an L.
Lodine.
All right.
Stuck in lodine again.
Okay. Kara, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
This is not the nipple.
I was kind of by force. I didn't choose to be. I can tell Sarah that the peroxide actually, from several doctors have said, that's probably not the best thing because it'll just kind of make it stay red and fester a little bit longer.
Fester.
So she might not want to be too reliant on that.
What is wrong
However,
with Sarah?
If you really need to vomit, drink it because it'll make you throw up right away. That's what vets tell us to give our dogs when they need to get sick.
Really?
Say they eat a bunch of chocolate, you give them a bunch of peroxide, they'll puke it right up. Although it's foamy and brown and...
No. Okay. What a charming discussion this is.
Thank you. I ate Thai food today.
All right. There you go. Who wants
pudding?
All right. Thank you, Kara.
You're welcome.
So what's wrong with Sarah? Do we have to have hydrogen peroxide? Oh, what are we applying it to?
Oh, really quick. I have a throwing up dog story.
So do I, actually. Sarah's got a hole in the side of her foot that's green.
Really?
Oh, filled with... My friend dropped me on... picked me up and dropped me. It's better today.
When was the last time you had a tetanus shot?
I don't know.
You better get one.
Lockjaw. No, it's too late now. No. When did it happen?
Oh, about a week ago?
Yeah, it's too late now.
Okay.
Can't do
so if she can't open her mouth or talk or eat, we'll have to sit with a feeding tube and have a watch.
Right.
So Muppet threw up this thing this weekend. I have no idea. It was a thing. It looked like a mouse. I don't know what it was.
Maybe it was a mouse.
No, because I looked and... I turned over, and he used to, when I first got him, he did the whole, like, humping thing. It was really gross. He did it once, and I broke him of it immediately. And so I looked over on the side of the couch, and it looked like he was humping a pillow. I'm like, no humping! And then I looked, and all of a sudden, this thing comes out of his mouth. He was dry heaving. and it was this big.
This is the most revolting conversation we've ever had.
I had to clean it.
That's amazing.
I don't know. I didn't.
Did you examine whatever it was?
Did you send it?
No.
Have it examined by someone?
Seriously, did you give it to Clyde? Or another reputable cryptozoologist?
It really looked like a mouse.
All right.
I don't know how he would have eaten a full mouse.
Well, his mouth is...
Mice can fit.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's smaller than his throat is.
I mean, it could be like a toy that you get at Burger King or something.
I almost didn't love him for a day. It was the grossest thing.
Did you let him lick your face?
No.
Yeah, but you will, though.
But then I put a bow in his hair and I felt better.
Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Bruce Agler, former Godlike Program Director. How are you, Bruce?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Given the way the discussion has gone in the last few minutes, I'm tempted to instead tell you my peroxide story of how the...
Does it involve vomit?
A surgeon used it for 6 weeks to clean my infected incision from my appendectomy.
Oh.
So it is very good for cleaning festering wounds, because that is literally all they did for an infected surgery.
I'm more of a maggot man myself. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, you are talking about your dog
leeches.
Throwing up a mouse.
Yeah,
putting
but
leeches,
maggots are gross.
Leeches you on your leeching. Wounds.
Yeah. Every day for 6 weeks, I had them insert a Q-tip down inside my body and with peroxide on.
Oh. Bruce, can I ask you a question?
Oh, I was going to talk about remedies from my childhood, but go ahead with your question.
Well, no. Go ahead, and then I'll go back to what I want to talk about.
Well, what I was always given as the all-purpose remedy for almost anything was a medicine called Paregoric.
Ooh, yeah.
Paregoric is liquid opium.
Uh-huh.
That's fantastic. Where can I score some?
I don't think it's available anymore, even in that day and age.
Liquid opium?
They figured it out.
Even in that day and age, my grandmother, who had all kinds of digestive problems, which ended up being colon cancer, I think her old doctor just still gave it to her. I don't think anybody normally got it those days.
Did you grow up in Taipei?
No. It was Southern California, as a matter of fact. But yes, we would be given that for upset stomachs, coughs, or...
Assuming that
as I understand it, mothers used to give that even as late as the 50s. They would rub that on the baby's gums to get them to solve their teething problems and get them to stop crying. And you can imagine why that made them stop crying.
Paregoric
opium, but
Paregoric was actually an answer to Coca-Cola, because cola syrup used to be used to treat upset stomachs, and they had mitylene in it, which was a derivative of cocaine, and it would help you feel better once you had taken it.
Assuming that you are not 105 years old, how is it that you lived in an era when you could buy liquid opium?
Well, it was prescribed by the doctor, and it probably still can be prescribed by the doctor. I don't.
Tasted horrible, though.
Well,
oh, my God. It ever tastes horrible. It is the most revolting tasting thing you have ever had. Of course, it's half alcohol.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, really.
The other half is the opium.
The opium, really, by the second dose, it probably matters less than nothing what it tastes like.
Well, yeah, I don't exactly remember that. Probably that's why you don't remember.
Didn't they put it in fruit punch when you took it? Because sometimes they disguise it and they put it in fruit punch.
And then he had seven in heaven?
If you're a little kid, you know, you're just like your mother would mix cough syrup or something else.
Yeah, they put it in fruit punch and then you wind up on the paper with some cult leader wanting you dead.
Bruce, let me ask you this. Sarah and I were having this discussion. I believe it was just Sarah and I. I don't think anybody else was taking part of this. We had a discussion. God, it was last week sometime, and somehow the subject of cows came up, and udders, and I...
to discuss bag bombing. You know, bag bomb is quite popular amongst women as a hand cream.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll go pick some up. Sarah and I were having this discussion last week, and we somehow got on the subject of farms. And I forget exactly how... Sarah, do you remember how this discussion came up? We were talking about... How shall I phrase this? We were talking about the part of a cow. It's part of the udder. And it begins with the word, it begins and ends with the letter T. Okay, I just dumped it. Let's stop. Sarah just said it, and I bleeped it.
You don't have, okay.
I think you can say it.
I don't know if by FCC standards,
I'm not
going to
say it.
I'm just saying.
I would think if you are specifically talking about animal husbandry, and you are properly pronouncing the word that is spelled T-E-A-T, probably that would be okay.
I love people who spell something on the air under the assumption that that's different from saying it somehow.
That is the term given
I had somebody do that with the F word on the show one time. They spelled it out.
And you can't get away with that, but that word is an agricultural phrase.
Right.
Word.
As long as we are discussing animal husbandry and bag bomb and so on, I think we probably can say that.
Is that an actual medical, scientific...
Yes.
I'm not asking you guys.
It is the part of the body on the cow.
It's Latin. What do you think the Grand Tetons come from? I'm not kidding. That's what they named them after. It's French for that. I'm not kidding. Look it up. The Frenchmen saw the mountains and they went, oh, Grand Tetons. That's what they said. That's what they said.
Just making stuff
up. I'm check the origin of the word.
All right.
Yeah. So in your...
I would think that that probably would pass FCC muster. However, your company may have stricter guidelines in this.
It's so hard to tell. Who can tell? But in your opinion, that is an actual a scientific term.
Well, it definitely is an actual scientific term. And in fact, it's not even the same. I mean, it only sounds like the other slang word that you're alluding to that would not be allowed.
I assume...
So three letters instead of four.
I assume that one came from the other, though.
Well, I assume, but again, the other is a slang, vulgar slang.
No, it's
term,
too much of a...
You know,
that's an Occam's razor thing. It's too similar. It's like chick came from chica.
Right,
it's
yeah.
One, I mean, it's the same sound. It's one letter off.
I always thought it came from the mouse. The...
No.
Yeah. It was slang.
No, it came from the part of the udder. That seems logical. Okay, there's no...
But the word can be used if you're not using it to refer to, you know... You can talk about the cow.
You know, if I was Oprah, I could have said it like 1,000 times by now. Nobody cared.
And even as far as the FCC was concerned in any the renderings lately, although, again, you know, they're getting stricter. But if you use the word you're thinking of, the three-letter word with a Y at the end and the word bar after it, that seemed to be allowed.
Also,
just such... you know, they said it... can I just tell you this? I know none of us watched the Emmys, but, you know, they said... they used the full phrase, TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
They said the whole thing repeatedly during the Emmys.
That they got a complaint about? Because there's been a couple of complaints filed about the Emmys.
I think it was Calista Flockhart.
Helen Mirren said something, too, and I forgot what it was.
The
one that did the TNA?
They repeatedly said the phrase... TNA.
That was Helen Mirren, and that's actually been filed.
Yeah, I know that. You can't say that. I mean, I know that. You can't say that.
But she's from England, where they can say that sort of thing on television.
But you noted correctly, and this sounds we have to talk like children here, but you have noted that if you... The T word from TNA?
Yes.
If you say, bar...
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard that on the radio repeatedly.
Right,
people say that.
That has been normally allowed.
I'm going to go take my roll
about a year or so ago.
Yeah,
but then I know most of the large corporations have now said that they don't want to say that.
Howard used to say that repeatedly. Howard would be like, yeah, I'm going to take my dollar bills down to the bar.
Right.
And it's like, and I would be listening going, like, you can't say that.
Can you say utter bar?
Yeah, utter bar.
Curious? Like,
I don't know. All right.
Another utter bar?
Bruce, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. That's Bruce Agler, ladies and gentlemen. Ridiculous. Stop it. It's a ridiculous conversation. Well, we're running a little behind here, but it doesn't really matter. Clive, what's going on in your world?
Well, tonight at Ground Zero Lounge, last week we had a out-of-the-ballpark visual show. We're going to have another out-of-the-ballpark visual show tonight because I talked about MKUltra brainwashing techniques, and it was really fun because we...
Is that like tied ultra white?
No, we're not going to be de-whiting. We had some really good visuals, and I decided that I wanted to do another visual show because I was talking about how you can be programmed without even knowing it. And it's really interesting because I just did you hear about this complaint about Superman Returns is out right now?
Yeah,
a number of people are complaining, saying there was too much Jesus in the movie. And they're saying that the whole thing was one big exercise in Jesus. And I also read that the director, Bryan Singer, said that the whole movie's premise was how the earth prepares for the return of the Messiah. And I thought it was very interesting that they would release a movie about the second coming, especially... when Paul Azan recently did a report on whether or not it's the end of the world and whether or not we're witnessing Armageddon.
How would Paul Azan ascertain that? Tonight on CNN, is it the end of the world?
That's what she is. Are all the events in the Middle East, how would you determine that,
do you suppose?
She said, are all the events in the Middle East basically leading us to Armageddon, the apocalypse? And she had on all these people. She had Jerry Falwell, some other minister from some church in New York. She had a number of people from the Pentecostal religions, the evangelical religions, all talking about that the Middle East is the end of the world and that Jesus Christ is supposed to return again. And I'm thinking, this is insane because CNN is not CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network. And so we point the fingers at Muslims and Islam and we say, hey, by the way, these guys are fanatics and they're doing all kinds of fanatical things. But when our whole TV situation turns into, well, we've got this new TV show coming out called Jericho, which is about an atomic bomb.
It looks so bad.
Last season we had Revelation, the mini series about the coming of the Antichrist and the coming of Christ. We have all these shows that are all Jesus overkill. And so they went from Jesus Christ Superstar to Jesus Christ Superman, and it was a weird thing that they did.
Jesus Christ
Superman. You see Lex Luthor pushing a knife of kryptonite in his side. He falls to earth. He dies. He raises 3 days later out of the hospital room. It was all basically a run over, a once over, of Jesus over and over again.
Did you see that study the other day said that 60% of Americans believe that Noah's Ark was real?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and so what I'm going to show you, what I'm going to show you tonight at Dante's is some pictures that I've basically gathered over the years that were sent out in the media from 9/11 on, showing our leaders as gods, showing them with symbology that makes them look like they're Christ-like or godlike, or even 9/11, the towers are representation of something. And also, do you remember the smoke in the clouds of the towers
that
showed Satan? I'm going to show that because you see Satan in the clouds. I mean, this was not me, okay?
I'm not, dude, I'm just sitting right here.
Well, no, you still freak me out about that $20 bill thing.
Oh, yeah, the $20 bill thing is another thing I can show tonight.
Here's the thing.
It's all weird.
I'm just saying, you've got that little tone of voice that's creeping in, and it's the I'm not crazy tone of voice.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, you give me
I'm just
look.
Sitting right. I'm right here.
You give me that look like Clyde's going off again, but it's not me this time. This is people that are normal, average, everyday people who are freaking out and are using all these things. And there's a reason, because the media is sending you secret messages through pictures to get your mimetic triggers firing, and you immediately go, oh, I know what that is, but you don't know what it is, because anciently, this goes all the way back. I mean, if you've read Joseph Campbell, if you've read all these books about mythologies and mimetic triggers, these are things that have been programmed inside of us so we react to them. The hero, the archetype, the metaphor of the hero, the fool, I mean, you name it. It's all there. And, I mean, see? Sarah just folded a $20 bill to make it look like the World Trade Center's on fire.
Can you make a swan?
Now look,
I don't think so.
It also, on the other side, it's the Pentagon on fire, too. Did you notice that?
Moving on.
That's the Pentagon on fire.
Okay.
You see?
Rick, come on. I'm such a disbeliever.
No, I'm just reading this thing here. Bag balm is loved by bicyclists who often develop groin boils. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on
8
Labor
o'clock
Day.
Tonight.
Davey Nipples coming up. Storm Large. Later on, Aaron Duran, Scott Daly.
Phrase of the day.
More of Tim Riley at the City Desk, ladies and gentlemen.
Ryan Boyles.
Don't go anywhere. It is the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Then I OD'd in Denver, and I just can't remember her name.
Jesus, God Almighty. Hello, kids. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. It's Labor Day. We're here, horrifying and disgusting thousands with every sentence we utter. Here's what I just heard.
Every sentence you utter.
Every sentence. Let me just drink some coffee. Now I just want to say things like teetotaler. I was just on the way back from the bathroom, and I come back, having just gone into the break talking about boils, I just come back from the bathroom, and just as I walk by Aaron, I hear the whole, and his face is covered in ringworm.
Oh.
So there you go. Just have that image in your head. It's a Rick Emerson Show. It is Labor Day. We're here. We're live. And it is the best show ever. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Just a few. We'll welcome Davey Nipples to the Rick Emerson Show, a musical director for Storm and the Balls. And we got Storm herself coming up in a little while. Aaron Duran and Scott Daly will be here from FilmFeverRadio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let us go to the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Crocodile hunter Steve Irwin, killed by a stingray barb through the chest, was a victim of voyeuristic wildlife television, say his fellow experts. Proving some things in nature should be left alone, they say. Dangerous animals, leave them alone because they'll defend themselves. Nature defends itself. It isn't about hugging animals and going, ah.
It's more about hugging them and going, ah.
And because you asked, I found some pictures of stingrays on the internet.
That's... Did you see this?
No.
Okay, I know this is a joke that no one is getting there. Tim has printed out some pictures.
In happier times.
Of, of sort of
before they're bothered by human beings.
It's a picture of some Disney cartoon depictions of stingrays where they've all got big smiley cartoon faces and eyes. Yes, this is what they look like. This is they're satisfied having tasted human blood. They're satisfied and filled with happiness at another successful kill. So there you go. Well, you know that normally, look, we're really of two minds on the Rick Emerson Show about this because Steve Irwin seemed like a good guy, except for that whole dangling his baby by the crocodile's business.
Well, it says if stingrays are near, if you shuffle your feet, you'll scare them away.
Now, see, that's, I thought that was the case not only with stingrays, but with rockfish.
Well, how do you do that underwater? Now, doesn't the water pull you up?
I will tell you how to do it, because they tell you about this in Hawaii, I believe it is. There are these things called rockfish, and they're called that because they have a sort of camouflage that makes them look like just a layer of pebbles on the ground. But rockfish, how creepy is this? Man, nature is effed up. Nature will kill you in all kinds of creepy and fantastic ways.
I think we learned that today.
It's true, man. Rockfish, here's how rockfish kill you. Their poison isn't very strong, but rockfish kill you because the sting is actually so painful that you cannot swim anymore. It's that the sting, it's like the pain is so overwhelming that it's actually, you are in too much pain to even bother swimming. And so you can drown in like a foot of water. You're walking out, da 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 da, ow, rockfish, ooh, hey, this hurts, blah, 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 I'm dead. And it's because you're in too much pain to even crawl to shore, which is creepy. I mean, that's creepy, that's like that Cretaceous curse or whatever the hell that is in the Harry Potter books. But so they tell you, if you're walking around, you know, in that part of the world, you don't step. You slide your feet. You're supposed to slide your feet. That way, if there is one, you'll come up underneath it, and it'll sort of, you'll push it away. Not unlike in Arizona. They tell you, if you live in Arizona, you get up in the middle of the night, go use the bathroom, get a glass of water. You don't walk. You don't step in Arizona. You slide your feet because scorpions. And if there's a scorpion, you want to come up underneath it and kick it away. You don't want to step down on it because it's going to... You know, it stab you. So
I mean, if you're underwater, what kind of footwear would you wear?
I mean,
you wouldn't be wearing stilettos if you're a lady.
I would think a Jimmy Choo, perhaps, or a... The thing about this is we're really of two minds because he did seem like a good guy, seemed like a nice guy, very full life and so forth. But you know that on the Rick Emerson Show, the tie goes to nature, in our opinion. We always root for the animal.
But it's what happens when you think everybody loves you and you're always wrong.
Well, this is... And this... And can I just... Then nature's always really there to show humility. But this really is, and I hate the stereotype, but this really is like a white person thing, too. This idea of like, I am an all-knowing white man. Watch me master nature. You know what I mean? And then they kill you.
That's an Al-Qaeda guy jumping underwater. That's
exactly what I'm talking about. Well, who was that
really
guy?
Way down.
Have you seen that Grizzly Man movie?
Oh.
Oh, man.
No, I want to see that, though.
Watch it just because of the satisfaction.
Oh, is that the guy that was eaten by the...
Yeah, and it's so satisfying at the end when the bear kills him. It's a documentary.
Didn't that happen in Washington State?
I think it happened in Northern California, but I might be wrong about that. Hmm. It's Grizzly Man is about a guy whose name I forget, but it's sort of like if Carson Kressley from Queer Eye was a grizzly handler. Hmm. Not a bear handler, but a grizzly handler. Hmm. He's just this really obviously nutty, stupid, self-involved, like, white liberal, self-described environmentalist. And he believes, wait for it, that he can commune with bears. And he speaks to them in their own language.
Like
and
holding a fish in his mouth saying, come here and eat this.
It is a lot of that. It's literally a lot of, like, I mean, and look, I'm not saying bears are evil, but they're animals. And they got to eat a huge teeth, gigantic, six-inch long, you know, claws. I mean, they'll kill you dead. And so the thing is to respect them. And so, but his whole thing is, you know, only he's like the bear whisperer. Only he can talk to bears. Other stupid people don't know what they're doing, but he, you know, he knows what. And here's a lot of like him getting up and literally like trying to get a bear's attention by hitting it in the face. You know what I mean? And then lecturing other people about how they don't know the secret language that it takes to communicate with bears in their own, you know, blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the film, the bears just kill him and eat him. And it's caught on tape. You don't get to see it, sadly, because it would have been, that's the only thing that would have made it more satisfying. But it's like, it really is worth it. It's sort of like a Blair Witch thing of like 90 minutes of boredom and then like a good 5-minute payoff because he spends 90 minutes being among the most irritating and annoying people I've ever seen in a film. And then at the end, I'm like, da, 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 eaten alive by a bear.
And then they play the audio, don't they?
Yeah, and then, you don't get to hear it, but they show a guy with headphones on listening to it. And it's a whole lot of like, you know, but you just sort of come out of the theater going like, it's sort of like a refreshed kind of like a, nature works itself out kind of a feeling.
Did he go with his girlfriend? Like, his girlfriend had already been eaten?
Oh, his idiot girlfriend, who was all, like, enraptured by his bear whispering abilities, was, like, spending some time. And unfortunately, she died as well. But it's like...
Who was eaten first?
I think it was him. I think it was him. And now that I think about it, I think she may have gotten away at the end. No? Dave is shaking his head. He's drawing the line across the throat. Maybe she got it too. Maybe it was his ex-wife or somebody that was there listening to the tape. But yeah, but he spends about 90 minutes making you hate him, and at the end, a bear eats him. It's perfect. It really is just like a flawless little circle.
If I'm not mistaken, the lady was someone he took on and on the trip to help her overcome her fear of bears.
Oh.
Well... didn't work.
Well, it depends on how one looks at it.
Money back if not delighted.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
From bears to birds, Multnomah County reminds you, please report dead birds you find. This is reminding you to report any dead birds that are trying to track the West Nile virus. Birds are considered an early warning system for the possibility of West Nile virus.
Like a canary in the coal mine thing.
So if you happen to see a blackbird that turned blue or a magpie foaming at the mouth, make sure you call the 24-hour... West Nile, I wonder if this is open right now. This is the Multnomah County Health Department West Nile Virus Hotline, 503-988-NILE.
If you happen to see thousands of birds congregating in a playground swing stalking Suzanne Plachette, please to be calling.
Yeah, otherwise it'll tear your eyeballs.
Right there. All right.
Is that it? That is it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Later on, 2 o'clock, 2:30, we'll check in with Tim Riley at the City Desk. Let us now welcome to the... Oh, we might as well just start the Stormwatch here, actually. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Attention residents of the greater metropolitan Portland area and surrounding cities and suburbs. The Rick Emerson Show is issuing a severe storm watch in your area.
First and foremost, I am a performer. I take command of the stage, I take control of the show, and give everybody a good time.
So, did it freak you out to be the first performer tonight?
I like being first. I am unafraid.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Our good friend, Davey Nipples, joining us now.
How do, sir?
How you doing, brother?
Well, how about yourself?
Well, it's always a treat.
That's what I thought.
Wow.
All right.
I'm speechless.
Can I reveal what just happened?
Sure.
No.
It's up to you.
Nope.
Okay. Never mind that.
It's a treat.
Okay.
For your eyes only, right. Rick.
Davey Nipples, musical leader for Storm and the Balls, and snuggler of Storm herself. See, now that the guy in the Oregonian used conjugal and engaged and whatever, I feel like I can just say whatever I want. Doesn't matter.
I have been outed.
The boundaries have all been crossed.
I have been outed.
Well, before, I guess Storm is going to be calling us here in a while. It's 1:45 or something, according to Scotty J. So we might as well take advantage of this time before that. First of all, now, are you when Storm calls us later, are you allowed to talk to her?
Yeah, I'll be able to talk to her on the radio.
All right, because there was a time when you weren't, because that counted as like your once-a-week call. Or
in the beginning, things were pretty tight. I think as time's gone on and the people who have progressed further into the show, I think they're kind of letting up the slack a little bit.
So. Well, because there was some, and again, this is all based on stuff we've seen in the webisodes and read on message boards and so forth, but there was some unpleasantness. When was that whole thing? Was it 2 weeks ago? When is it that Delana went crazy?
Was it longer? I don't know.
It's like two weeks ago when she was smashing things and so forth.
Yeah, last week after the bad review.
After they just reamed her?
I think it was after the press thing, wasn't it?
When she was reaming on everybody. So it looks like things have been relaxed a little bit since then. So I like with Storm herself, I'm never sure what you can talk about and what you can't. Because I'm sure that, you know, we're CBS employees as well, and I know how much paperwork there is for us about stuff. So I guess my question to you is, Davey, what if anything can you share with us at this point?
Oh, well, as far as all the drama stuff, I mean, I think it's been kind of made pretty clear in the webisodes and on the show itself that, you know, everybody is in that thing for the long haul. They all know they have to live together. By the time we see most of that stuff, you got to realize that most of that's already anywhere between 3 and 5 days later.
Right.
Like when you see that reality episode stuff meltdown, that's happened like 5 days ago. So by the time Wednesday comes around, they're already turned the page, and you know, but they're all adults. They've all dealt with it, and they've all had their little back and forths with each other. And
that explains why Magny's head was all healed by the time we saw him on television.
Exactly.
If I was him, I totally would have been in the bathroom like with a blade. Yeah. Totally just like, ah, cut my skull open. You know? I mean, because everybody was predisposed to dislike that woman anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, she, you know, she kind of dug her own hole here and there, and there's a lot of questioning how much of that is editing and how much of that is real. I think just by reading everybody, obviously, some of those sentiments, you know, might have been real. But, you know, once again, she's human, and, you know, Storm's been a pretty good friend to her.
Man, you're so much nicer of a person than I am, man. I've disliked her from the beginning, and so the minute, but I will tell you this, that I've disliked Delana from the beginning. Without any justification.
I know, the minute you were justified, it was like Christmas for you.
Oh, totally. The minute they gave me a reason, I was like, yeah! You know what I mean? It's sort of like when you know what it is? It's like, whatever. It's like if your daughter is dating some guy, and you're just like, I just don't trust that Todd.
Right.
You know, or whatever. And, like, the minute Todd, you know, gets caught banging a cheerleader somewhere, you're like, aha! And it's like you're sad, but at the same time, you're happy. Because you knew that there was a reason to dislike him.
Well, I think we've all had one of those. One or more of those people on the show, like mine was, I couldn't do Jill, like that girl.
Oh, man. Get on a pole somewhere. Quit singing. Yeah. That was, I mean, the best part was when that whole, well, I think Jill really performed that song and really made me remember it. I can't say that this anything about this is memorable. It was, it's all Jill. Because we all really lay awake and remember Jill.
Yeah, because we remember that her grinding on him was the highlight of the show.
Jesus, God. Hey, we were talking about Bag Balm. You bag know Bag Balm.
I know Bag Balm. I am a father, and Bag Balm works on baby butt.
It's all about baby butts these days. This, I was going to wait, actually, and I was going to wait, and I was going to play all of these later. But just because you're here...
What you got?
Let me see if I can find this. Just because you're here... I wanted to play this one Delana sound. Hey, Sarah, is my computer up?
By the way, the crying thing absolutely rules.
And I know, look, and I can see Storm. Storm is calling in right now. Actually, I can see her on the hotline, but so she's going to have to wait a second. Because I'm just going to... Well, here's...
We got to make fun of Delana now,
because
she...
Well,
won't.
That's the thing, because she doesn't brook any of that. Storm is just all... I mean, no offense, I love Storm, but Storm... Let me just ask you this, since she's on hold listening, and so it'll be all uncomfortable.
Sweet.
Is Storm's whole thing just... That she just is at heart, kind of like, is she just at heart a non-confrontational person?
When it's deserved, she'll be confrontational, but she's got a heart size of Texas.
That's what I mean. It's like Storm seems very much like the type to give second, third, fourth chances.
Yep. Her opinion is that, you know, everyone is human, and, you know, the girl's taken a beating for a few weeks, and, you know, she's there to help her, and her opinion is that she would hope that someone would do the same for her if the roles were reversed.
Ah, does Delana look like she doesn't bathe very often?
Yeah, how does she look in person?
She looks very,
I think she looks great in person.
You don't think she looks sort of waxy and shiny?
No, my favorite quote,
she kind of looks like she's made out of a burnt umber crayon.
No, she looks pretty normal. Everybody actually, I thought, looked better in person than they do on TV. Storm looks good all the time, but I thought some of the others looked actually better in person.
Yeah, the camera doesn't do any favors to some people. We're running this contest called the Delana's Sweet, Sweet Tears Equal Your Material Gain Contest. And just in case anybody is unaware what we're talking about.
Please.
This is, we have isolated out probably the most transparently false crying sound. It sounds like she's got a large hair stuck in her epiglottis.
Can we please pick up Storm? It's rude.
All right, but first we have to do this. I'm going to wait. We'll unveil the rest of these on Wednesday. But I did want to play. This is from Steven. This, we asked people to incorporate the sound of Delana, quote, crying, end quote, into some sort of an audio composition for a chance at fame and fortune. Let me just go ahead and open this up here, Sarah. This will launch here in a minute in my Winamp. This is called Delana Starting Up. Right here. This is from Steven. So there you go. There you go. Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, there you go. That's called Delana Starting Up. That's, you ought to hear the ones I haven't played yet. Genius. I got one from the low, actually. It's gonna. Oh yeah, and Scotty J is making one.
Wow.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend from Storm and the Balls, happening to be on Rockstar Supernova right now. Storm Large, how are you, sister?
Oh my God.
That, see, you know.
Oh, you have such a nice room waiting for you in hell, Rick Emerson.
Punch my ticket now.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be in the band. So you'll have something to do.
Oh, yeah.
You'll have someone to drink with.
No, we're gonna unveil all the rest of them on Wednesday, but I wanted to play that one for Davey. How you doing, sister?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm okay. So we are now, what is this? We're now 2 weeks away? Two weeks? Ten days, something like
one
that?
One week from Wednesday is the big finale tamale.
So I don't know to what extent you can even tell us this, but is it, so we've got tomorrow, which is the performance,
yep.
Wednesday, which is the elimination, and
yep.
Then is it the same thing after that, another Tuesday and Wednesday, or?
You know, I actually don't know. That's a good question. I'm assuming there would be another performance, but, you know, after this Wednesday, you know, who knows what's going to happen. They really kind of keep us in the dark, I think, on purpose to create
right.
tension and drama, but at this point, I'm just fine with whatever happens. I'm so happy with where I'm at right now and ready to come home, chomping at the bit, you know, party my face off in L.A. and then on someone else's dime and then come right back home to you guys.
This is kind of a loaded question, but if you feel, and again, this is not to put bad energy out there, but whatever. Let's say Wednesday comes and, you know, and you end up going out. It sounds so cheesy to say, but would you feel happy with that, as happy as you could anyway?
Absolutely. I feel like, you know, I thought I was going to go home last week. And, you know, when it was me and Ryan and Delana, I was like, oh, no way are they going to send Delana home. And so, oh, well, that's okay. Cool. My last hurrah. At least I got to fall on some humans and be rude and nasty on global television. But, you know, then I didn't go home. And then, I don't know, I feel like I've just gained some momentum. And tomorrow, oh, my God, just tomorrow's show is going to make you grow hair naturally all over.
Well, look,
no, we've read, we're horrible, and I read the spoilers.
I do not know the spoilers, but Sarah does. And Sarah,
and I am so excited.
Sarah, how excited are you?
I am so stoked. And Rick won't let me tell him what you think or anything.
No, no. You've got to keep
He's
it
gonna
under
be
your
surprised.
Hat.
I will. David and I will sit here.
I've been floating around all night and all day, just so happy.
Sarah and I have this relationship that is not unlike, please don't take any offense to this, it's not unlike when you date a girl and you don't want to know about her past, you know, and she sometimes wants to tell you after a few vodkas, like, there's this one time when the whole hockey team was in town. You're like, I don't want to know. And she's like, no, it's a great story. And you're like, no, I just prefer.
I'm so telling you now.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like she wants to tell me, and it's like, I want to know, but I know that it's best if I don't. So
I just have a feeling that the whole crowd of Dante's is going to pee so hard and so fast in unison that there will be a big urine rainbow over Dante's. It's just, they're going to pee their pants.
Attention,
it's
advertisers.
It's the best thing you've ever seen.
Attention, Les Moonves, you too can. And by the way, and I want to clarify, because Sarah was mouthing during my question, like, what the hell are you talking about? But my point about tomorrow, and again, it's not that I'm trying to jinx anything, but it's like, no one wants to be that guy that went out like the first week or the whatever, because you feel like if you go out the first week, second week, you feel like, well, hey, not only did I go out, but I didn't get a chance to kind of show people what I'm about. I didn't get a chance to show people all my facets. Do you feel like at this point, whether it's 1 week, 2 week, whatever, that you've been able to show people the bulk of kind of what you can do, you know, a lot of your different facets?
Oh, yeah.
And then
and
then
I really don't know I would ask you for you if I knew what you were
I'm
ask.
Asking I don't know what you perform tomorrow, but I will just say this to Sarah, and if Storm happens to be listening, that's fine. Sarah, heard tomorrow that everybody performs one cover and one original.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too.
I don't know that that's true, but that was the word on the street.
I read that somewhere.
Really, I remember reading it. There was some guy told me.
Didn't Storm of the Balls coming out with their new album at some time in the near future?
I heard that single. This is the thing that I heard. Now, this is just a rumor. And somebody's on the phone. I don't know who that is. Somebody told me. Somebody told me that there was this Storm in the Balls CD in the works called Blue that had an undetermined release date, and that there was this single called, what was it, Schmady Schmiker, Ladylike.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just thinking,
I've heard it's good.
What a great
real
song
good.
That is. And
that'd be great to
I feel it has
live.
Real strong single potential. If only there was some venue in which I could see that performed with a live energy that song absolutely demands. Anyway.
Being projected all over the world.
So that would be, that's a thing that I'd like
that
to see.
That would be, that would be something.
So... How do you feel about tomorrow's show overall? You feel like tomorrow you blow the doors off?
I feel like tomorrow, that show is my bitch.
Would you call?
Yeah, you sound so rejuvenated. You sound so happy and good.
Well, I think it's because the end is in sight, and I've gotten to actually, with my elimination last week, my elimination song last week, Helter Skelter, and my performance this week, feel rejuvenated. I'm more grounded in myself. I feel reinforced as what I'm doing as a musician in general, and the big picture is starting to come back into focus, because the micromanaging of television is it's a tricky creature. It's really easy to forget what you're doing and who you are and why you're here, because there's just so much going on all the time. And now the end is in sight, so it's kind of like, okay, win or lose, I feel like I'm going to walk out of here a champ. I don't care. You know what? I feel I did my best, and if I'm not right for Supernova, that's fine. That's fine. I can live with myself.
See, that's kind of what I was getting to right now, and I was trying to phrase it. You know, I don't want to be that guy, but that you go out feeling like you gave your best, and all those stupid cliches, but that really, you know, those sports cliches that still really mean something.
It really does mean something, and it's, you know, the top five, seriously, at this point, it's just a matter of Supernova making up their mind. It's not about us bettering the other. It's about, you know, bringing your best of you. And I've absolutely done that in spades. Even when they've given me crap about my performances, I've still given my best. And that's why I'm like, yeah, give me crap. Okay, I'll take your advice and I'll take your criticism. But you can't say that I didn't try. You can't say that I didn't try. And I didn't give up and I didn't go half-assed on anything. So I feel really, really solid about everything I've done here and the way I've carried myself.
I actually have to say that when you were doing, because I didn't know what you were going to perform as the elimination song last week. I had no idea. And I told Sarah deliberately, I'm like, I knew some of the spoilers, but I'm like, I don't want to know because I want to be surprised. And when it was Helter Skelter, I actually got a text message. My phone just vibrates constantly during Rockstar
Supernova.
During the
show, yeah, me too.
Literally.
I'm going off all the time.
At like 9:01 to like 9:58, and it's just a lot of WTF, OMG, 1-1, LOL, yeah. Rockstar.
I can't believe she's wearing that. Totally. Did you hear that song that he did?
At about 9:25, I got like 15 text messages in a row, including one from Joni DeRoshi. It's funny you mentioned the bladders. I got one from as soon as the opening notes, when Brooke Burke does that, performing the Beatles classic, Helter Skelter, and Joni emails me like, are you wetting yourself right now? Oh, my God! You know, and like all caps, like 100 exclamation marks. And I think it was Davey or somebody said that you had like a head cold or you weren't a little under the weather. But you know what?
Yeah.
It's sort of the Helter Skelter is kind of like Twist and Shout, where, you know, just that raw, real sawed-off shotgun kind of scream really works well.
Yep.
It was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's the first time somebody's gone out into the crowd like that, isn't it? I don't think anybody else has done that.
I think a few people have done it. Toby likes to run into the crowd, and Ryan ran into the crowd a couple of times. But I tried to get a mosh pit going, but all the TV people were like, no, you know.
Seriously. Some lawyer somewhere.
Yeah, people with clipboards, you know.
Hey, does Toby walk around with his shirt off all the time at the house? Is he one of those guys?
No, but he did just walk by me with his shirt off. That's actually pretty funny.
Some guys have just got that vibe.
I'm usually more topless than everyone else.
Hey, we have Storm, you know we have Davey here too, right?
Hi.
Hi, baby.
How are you, baby?
I'm good, Daddy.
Awesome.
Should we leave you alone?
I know.
No, I know. Awkward. Okay, but anyway.
No, it's sweet.
Hey, Davey, when I get home, you want to play Bribe the Prison Guard?
Okay.
Awesome.
Play escaped convict and the warden's wife.
Can I borrow the bag bomb, Rick?
Okay. Moving on.
Are you uncomfortable yet, Rick?
I really am. So, well, so I got to figure out if it's the same thing, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday, because I think we're going to be at Dante's probably both nights this week. And I got to tell you, man, it's the energy at Dante's. You know, right as you started getting ready to perform and then during your performance and during all of that, the energy in that place, it just vibrates. That whole place is like it's floating 2 or 3 feet off the ground. So it's
nice.
It's pretty amazing. Are we going to see, to whatever extent you know this, are we going to see any of the one person kind of gets tossed under the train this week? Has there been anything like that?
Well, it's television. They got to have their peaks and valleys. So, you know, I can't throw anything out there, but there is some valleys.
Is there? Are we imagining here at home I don't want to call it tension, but the sort of the friction between you and Gilby Clark?
No, you know, there's a television thing going on there. They all have really high expectations of me because I'm the most I've been doing this the longest. Jason Newsted has known of me for about 15 years, and so they have the highest, I think, expectation of me. So when I don't give what they're expecting, and I don't know what they're expecting me to do, you know, I'm being professional, I'm being myself. But when Gilby says things like, "Oh, you know, you haven't grown at all," it sounds really gruff and it sounds really kind of harsh. But it's television, you know. He's off camera, you know. He's totally chill, mellow guy. But, Davey, side note, he is a Chevy guy, so.
Boo.
Yeah, he's a Chevy guy.
I
told him, I was like, yeah, well, my man built Pontiac, so you and I are never going to get along.
I do,
Well, I have a car with a big blown engine, and he has a lap dog.
Yes, what?
He has a lap dog. Chopper. Key difference in manhood there.
I have to say, well, and your hair stays in one place, Davey. Your hair,
moving forehead.
Yeah, your hair doesn't start in the middle of your forehead some weeks and be all slanty the next week.
Oh my god!
Also, your sack is not in Delana's purse. Oh. That's the key difference there. I do have to say, I'm sorry, I forgot you were there, Storm.
It's all right, man.
The key. I will say this though, and this is simply my observation. I was talking to someone. We'll call him Davey, and I was saying, I believe that if you feel like you are in the bottom three at some point, and if you feel like it's the rubber's meeting the road, and like this is it, this could be the grand finale, I really feel like you just ought to end the whole thing just like about 5 inches from that guy's face, and just like sing the last chorus of whatever you're singing right into Gilby's face, and then just set the mic down in his lap and just be like, and I'm out, and just, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
Baby. Just sing it right to that guy, and just, you know, and just let him have it. And I know you're saying he's a good guy offstage or whatever, but I mean,
yeah. But you know what? What's unfortunate is that if he's nice to you off camera, that's unfortunate because he's looking like a real dick on camera.
The guy, he's got an ass vibe. He really does.
Just remember, there's a lot of editing that goes on.
I know, and Davey's talked to us because we get all worked up about it, and he's been like, "It's okay, she's doing good."
Yeah, seriously, there's a lot of taping that goes on, and they can. You know, they could turn on you, man. They could, like, I was scared because they're like, "Oh, you're the mama of the house. You're all nice." And I'm like, "Hey, man, don't get those freaking clippers out on me, dude."
Well, if they're going to edit, let them edit you sticking the microphone right into his groin. Edit that out.
You know, this week, though, is going to be a different ballgame. Things, you know, as in reality TV, there's a lot of ups and downs and switcheroos. This week's going to hold a lot of changes in everybody's opinion.
Yeah.
Well, the general consensus from the people who are unnamed that we know who know things about this, none of whom are in the studio, the people we've talked to who know some stuff about this this week is huge. Huge thumbs up for everybody and everybody that everybody's really bringing it, but that you are really on a whole different level this week.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the consensus on, even not just, you know, on your website, on all of the general, like, Rockstar Supernova message boards, it's your name over and over again.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That just makes me feel better. I mean, when you see the show, you're just not even going to, I mean, everybody just brings so much. The show is just off the hook completely. But I have to say, I mean, I thought Lucas and Toby did fantastic. Fantastic performances, but I have to say, and I'm very modest, I think I did the absolute. I think my show was the best of the night. And even if I don't win an encore, even if I don't get major accolades, it's just coming from me as a gut instinct. I felt the best I've felt all season for this show. It was my absolute best performance, hands down.
Fantastic. Well, I've seen, now I'm all giddy.
I'm all excited.
Don't tell me.
I know.
All right.
Sarah, I can hear your brain burning to tell him.
I know.
I won't. I'll keep it to myself. But
But here's the thing is, she has the information. She doesn't tell me, but here's the thing is, I inevitably break down and ask.
And guesses.
I guess like 20 questions style. It's sort of.
Don't they post? Not the spoilers, but isn't the show officially on Mondays online or something?
No, that's just the behind the scenes.
Yeah, your behind the scenes show.
That's just
the web episode stuff.
Life around the mansion.
Yeah, and that
and
only shows like one or two of you guys, like what songs you pick. So it never shows all of them.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we only know like.
Wow,
you'll
that's
see.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So the way it is with me is it's. To me, it's sort of like some weird S&M game where it's like, I want to know, but I don't want to know. And so I drag it out for as long as possible by guessing it 20 question style. It really is like some delayed gratification kind of power game that we play. So
nice.
It's all very awkward.
Why don't you reach over and touch Davey's leg and say that again?
He's too chicken.
Make me wait for it, Davey.
All right. Do we need a safe word, Rick?
Well, I...
What's the safe word?
Okay.
Did they ever show that?
I read about that. That's so awesome.
That's my plastic pants in the car. What?
It was so funny because like sometimes when we get going, it's like they have to stop and start over. They'll be like, "Will you guys please stop talking about bondage and games?"
Yeah.
We just get so nasty. Everyone starts like. There's young girls in the audience, they all start squirming, getting all uncomfortable.
I'm surprised that nobody, and we're just going so late. Are we keeping you from like talking to Bob Miller or something?
No, everything's fine.
I really am surprised because Toby has done the thing of bringing the chicks up on stage and Ryan did the Jerry Lee Lewis thing or whatever, but I am surprised that none of the guys has done the Vince Neil Motley Crue Home Sweet Home thing of like singing with the chick in the front row, like sharing the microphone like an ice cream cone, singing the song together, or full on just like kissing some girl in the front row. That would gain somebody rock. It might be too late for that now, but Toby ought to just full on sing and then plant one on a girl in the front row.
Well, he was totally surrounded by
girls. I told him to do it, but he laughed, but he thought, you know, it would probably be bad. I said, you know what?
Dude.
If you're doing a song that everybody knows, you should just, or maybe I said this to Lucas. I was like, you know what? You should just be like, hey, all right, come on. You know this song, all right. You sing the first verse, you grab a girl. You're like, who knows this song? I'm like, grab them, make them sing it. Grab another girl, just make out with it all the time.
Totally.
And make somebody else sing the song.
No, you have no idea.
You're a rock star, baby.
You have no idea. Well, because nobody needs to prove at this point that they can sing. It's all about the rock star vibe. And maybe you know, but I mean, I don't think those guys, like Ryan, who is now gone, but and Toby, I don't think they realize how much chicks dig them.
Oh, no. Believe me, Toby knows.
I mean, we were at Dante's last week, actually, and Sarah, at one point early on in last week's broadcast, leaned over to me, and she just said in that sort of like, I've been drinking, so I think I'm speaking in an inside voice, but
I still think it's true.
No, it's just, it was the tone of voice. I was like, he is extremely effable, though. And then just sort of like lean
he
back.
Totally is. He just exudes this like sexual energy. That's what you
he
see when
really,
you look at
really
him.
He really, really does. Yeah. And in person, he's like a super goofball, and he's terrified of me.
Yeah.
In that way. Like, he'll flirt with me and stuff, and then he'll just kind of wince and like cringe and like creep away. He's like, I'm scared.
I do want to note though that it would be acceptable to the judges for you to make out with a girl. We would accept that as like a sort of a second place kind of a thing.
I think so too, but you know what? All of Middle America would just dump me like a dirty sock.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
If I believe me, I thought about it. There's some really as the show wears on towards the end, there are some yummy young ladies who work in the industry that involves. Clear heels and stuff like that. Clear platform shoes.
Yeah.
They're very attractive and they really, really, really like us a lot.
Fantastic.
So, but I, you know, I'm taken, and I'm not into that anymore. These are my calm years, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Davey wouldn't want any of that anyway, would you, Davey?
Oh, heavens no.
No, of course, that would be wrong.
good Bible-thumping family.
All right, well, we should go around the room here, because I know, Davey, this is probably the last time that you will be here, before things wrap up one way or the other, so...
True.
Final...
Oh, you can't come in next week?
Probably not. I'm going to be actually in L.A. next week for the elimination and for the wrap party.
Yes, so, indeed.
So final thoughts, observations, Dammy?
I'm looking forward to it. The finish line is in sight, and Storm's kicking ass.
And then I will be in the crowd on Sunday. So that's, I'm very excited. I'm looking forward to that. So I will see you from afar, on Sunday.
Yeah, if I'm, unless they vote me off the island on Wednesday, I don't think it'll be my week to go, but you never know. They always love a shocker, you know,
right.
They build you up and they rip you a new one. So we'll see.
Well, the Portland vibe is strong here. So we're sending all the good energy your way, Storm. So
I'm loving it, man. Thank
all right,
you guys
sister.
So much.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right, I love
Bye,
you guys.
Storm.
I love you, baby.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you go. Storm Large from Storm and the Balls. All right, good times. All right, Davey, now that Storm has left and has gone here, the final observations, thoughts?
I can't
just want to talk
that woman.
I just want to talk about clean heels.
I think it's going to be real interesting. I think the Mark Burnett fashion, he's got everybody wound tight as a drum, and this next couple of weeks is going to be crazy.
You know what I should have asked her but didn't? And I'll ask you your thoughts, and maybe I will ask her this next week. Do you think that she's going to stay in touch or friends with any of these people when this is all over?
I've been pressuring her this whole time to, write down phone numbers and addresses and all that, because I know during a lot of my touring stuff with Everclear and whatnot, I just, assumed, I'll see him next time.
Liam Gallagher, I'll see you again next year.
There's a lot of people who I've lost contact with, and I'm kind of, it's unfortunate. And so she said that, I'm trying to keep up on that. And evidently, I think someone from the show is going to, put something together, kind of like a conglomerate. It's got everybody, all the connections
cool.
And names and numbers. But, yeah, she wants to really keep in touch. She's made some excellent friends through this thing.
You know, Patrice really digs her.
She's a really cool gal.
Yeah, we were lucky enough to talk to Patrice for a few minutes.
I heard the tail end of that.
Yeah, she was cool.
She is a nice gal.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the website is stormlarge.com. You go there, and you're on there pretty frequently. You pop in, you say hey to the kids.
I kind of almost... kind of use it as kind of a blog thing. There's a lot of phone call updates and whatnot. It really gives you kind of more of an inside peek as to what's going on and all that.
Cool. So Davey Nipples, ladies and gentlemen. All right, do we break here? We're really behind, aren't we? All right, take a break. Come back. Aaron Duran and Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Thus ends today's Storm Watch. The Rick Emerson Show. Stay there.
Careful, sailor. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Super dope. That was badass, man.
Thank you.